following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without sight. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
All right, welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. You're officially in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. Good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful.
And so for those of you who may have never heard this segment, you know, Dr. Omar is the owner and founder of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon, Thingsville. And Dr. Omar, you constantly talk about just great information. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they begin to do that?
People can always go to welltopiarx.com, send me a message, or call me at 262-429-9429 and speak to me or one of my staff members. We're happy to help.
And I just think it's so critically important that people know how to get in touch with you, because I don't know how many Dr. Omars there are across the globe or across the nation. But I clearly know the one that I'm talking to now and the impact that you've had on my life and my family's life. And we're forever grateful for you and having met you and to, you know, have conversations and dialogue with you. And I know that I'm not the only person. I'm no celebrity. You have these kinds of conversations with every person who walks through the door or who makes the phone call.
Thank you, Earl. As a board certified as a pharmacist, as board certified as a functional medicine a practitioner, I try to share the knowledge that I learn every day. And me and my team, our conversations is all about empowering each other, answering questions, and figuring out how to best support patients. Because what is happening today is that there is abundance of information, but there is no cookie cutter. This works for everyone. So we get to the point of, okay, all of this is great. What do I have to do? What is the simple steps that are suitable for me that I can follow? Tell me 1, 2, 3. Tell me a plan that I can follow. But it's like TikTok videos, 10 seconds here, 10 seconds there. But what exactly works for you cannot work for someone else. So that's where we say you need good advice. And that's what we're trying to do humbly.
So I want people to understand, I always am willing to be open about my own life on these podcasts and what's happening with me. And several weeks back, I was having tingling in my fingertips and in my shoulder and elbow, and I was concerned. Being diabetic, I was concerned about, you know, this could be something, nerve damage or whatever could possibly happen. But the tingling was not going away. And that tingling went on, Dr. Omar, for at least several weeks until I finally decided to call my insurance carrier and set up an appointment to see a doctor. Finally got to see a doctor. The doctor, you know, told me, spend about 8 minutes with me, and then basically took me off a couple meds, added something different, and things just weren't going properly, had a conversation and a dialogue with you, and you said right away that you're probably lacking vitamin B. So here's what I want you to do. Take this vitamin B. I never will forget our conversation. I'm not going to overprescribe vitamin B because I don't know, apparently too much vitamin B is as bad for you as not enough. And so you prescribed this vitamin B that clearly I got from you, because nobody has, you know, as good supplements as Dr. Omar. And I'll tell you, I finally got to see the person who radiologist on a couple days ago, and finally they took all these x-rays and all those things. I sat down with the doctor and he checked everything out, and he said everything checks out. And I said, well, you know, it stopped tingling 2 weeks ago after having talked with my pharmacist, and he prescribed the vitamin B, and right away the doctor said, well, you know, vitamin B, if it's overprescribed, it can be, you know. And I said, well, no, he clearly had, we had the conversation, and the doctor and the pharmacist said to me, I'm not going to overprescribe it. But to make a long story short, you were spot on, right? And it was not all these conversations.
It was not expensive. It was something.
No,
simple,
right. But I wanted, the reason I'm telling this story, Dr. Omar, is for those who will listen to this podcast, that I know Dr. Omar, I'm fortunate, but there are other Dr. Omars in the world. And so right away, we can't think that what we need to do is always, excuse me, go see the doctor, because the doctor and the doctor then who doesn't have enough time with you is going to do whatever they can to try to alleviate what it is you're dealing with. But it was something as simple as vitamin B deficiency. And so I'm recovered because of something as simple as that, Dr. Omar. And that's the point I wanted to make to the listening audience. It's not just this instance that, you know, you've come to the rescue for me and my family. It's all along the way. And it's always well thought out. You say what to that?
So when you came and you complained from having the tingling issue, and since there was no obvious injury, I thought that there might be some nerve irritation or poor nerve function. And the B complex, several B vitamins, they are directly involved in keeping nerves healthy and transmission of signals properly. To give you an example from the B vitamins, we have B1, thiamine, supports energy production in the nerve cells. Without energy, the nerves cannot fire properly. The vitamin B6, pyridoxine, critical for making neurotransmitters, the chemical messengers. Deficiency can cause nerve pain, numbness, or tingling, but too much can also damage the nerves. So balance is key. And then, of course, we have the B12, the cobalamin, cyanocobalamin or methylcobalamin. Maintaining of this myelin sheath, the insulation around the nerves. Low vitamin B12 can cause nerve misfiring, leading to the tingling or numbness, often starting in the extremities. So just getting simple good B vitamins that cost maybe $25 for 1 month or 3 months supply is going to be enough. And this is not information I got in pharmacy school. I actually got it in middle school, I think in the seventh grade, when we start learning about the B vitamins. It is just early. We have to listen to each other. The doctor is going to rule out the injury, rule out the x-ray that there is no nerve damage. But if something simple we can start with doses that are not too much, getting it from a respectable brand of the vitamins. So that's where we start, listening to you. You talk to me, I listen to you. You do not talk to me, and I go to my computer to figure out what's the medication that gives me the highest gross profit or the medication that insurance will accept. I want to listen to you first to know what is suitable to get you, and it might be something as simple as what we have discussed. And that takes us to the bigger issue of healthcare in America. We spend more than many, many countries together, and our outcomes are poorer than many countries that do not spend maybe 1/10 of what America spends on healthcare. Because the vision is not just to support the patient, it is to support the payer, you know?
Dr. Omar, right now people are struggling economically in this nation. It's clearly only going to get worse. And so as we're talking about, they're talking about now cutting and kicking people off of Medicaid and other, you know, entities that support people when they're in their health. How does one who's struggling with their budget on a daily basis afford, you know, keeping themselves healthy, with and sufficient in vitamins and those types of things? And the fact that we don't just go, Dr. Omar, on the shelf and get the vitamins that are the cheapest and think that we're, you know, covering what we need to cover.
That is the wonderful thing. And I wanted to talk today about the biohacking term. When we hear biohacking, we think of something that will cost us a lot of money. So I want to talk today about small intentional changes in the lifestyle, environment, or some cheap supplements that you can take that will support your body and support your health and get you into the less aging for yourselves so you live healthier longer. And we want to do it on a budget. So come ask me if I want to do awesome things on a budget, what do I do? So I thought of some examples of things that we can do and take that has just maximum mega benefits. First one I want to talk about is creatine monohydrate. And most people think of creatine as just for gym bros, but it's also one of the best brain supplement you can take, and it's kind of dirt cheap. And it matters because creatine fuels your mitochondria for energy in both the brain and the muscles, helps to improve memory and focus and mental stamina. It's a powder that you can put on your coffee in the morning because it doesn't have a taste. And it helps to preserve muscle as you age. And it's great for long-term strength and independence. And no need for loading phase. You can just start getting it and put like 3 or 5 grams, about a teaspoon, on a cup of water or tea or coffee. And the thing is, like, something like this is going to protect your muscle from sarcopenia or breaking down. It's not expensive. So that is kind of on a budget. You can do something that supports your health that can have maximum benefit. If you start today and you give it 3 to 4 months, you're going to see that it's easier for you to go to the gym, to exercise, and to recover from the exercise. And if you exercise, that's the strongest anti-aging plan that you will have. But you have challenge with people coming and saying, I exercise, but I feel tired. I feel like I am not easily recovering. So taking something like creatine, taking a considerate dosing of B-complex every day, that can be enough for muscle recovery. And the second thing I would say doesn't cost a lot of money is exercising. You need 5 days of exercise a week, 30 minutes of resistance exercise, resistance to training, not just walking. Go to the Y, go to the gym. But this exercise is going to support your muscle, your brain, your mental health. I'm not talking about just walking, Earl. I'm talking about actually lifting weights for a couple of days, running for a couple of days. Just do something that matters when it comes to exercise for 30 minutes. And I always recommend for people who have not been exercising for a long time to do it guided with a trainer first, or use an app to help you with simple exercises in the beginning, just to give you an idea of the scope of the muscle trainings that you can do without straining your muscles, so you wouldn't have energy. So biohacking is for everybody. It doesn't have to be hyperbaric chamber and traveling to Kuala Lumpur to do this kind of stem cells. No, we have to start with the simple things, you know?
You know, Dr. Omar, there are times, I guess, that people will get frustrated. They expect these changes to occur immediately if they haven't been, you know, taking vitamins and now all of a sudden supplements, and now all of a sudden they expect to see miraculous change. But consistency is at the root of things, right?
I totally agree with you. Every doctor or scientist in health I meet, I ask them, how long does it take after taking a supplement or doing a change in my diet or exercise, how long does it take to see the difference? And most of the answers come to me that it takes at least 3 months to 4 months to do changes in the body cells in order to see changes in your health. So I would say 90 days, 90 to 120 days to do change from a new supplement or a new medication or a new exercise. Psychologists are saying, they used to say 21 days of doing something every day is going to turn it to a habit. But I just listened to a doctor who's talking about some fascinating research that doing something consistent for 63 days is going to turn it to a habit that sticks, and you're going to do it every day. So we have to think as the body and the soul, they work together. If you do change in your life for something that you've been suffering from for so long, you have to give it time to change. When I have my consultations, I tell my patient, you know what? We've been having gut issues for so long. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3. We're going to do those changes, 1, 2, 3 in the diets. And we're going to stop this offensive food that you eat. But don't call me in 2 days and say it didn't work. You know, you have to give it time. And that's kind of the discipline and planning. And that's why I spend a lot of the time, big chunk of my consultation, to try to get it into the head of my patients that we're going to have a plan. This is the plan. This is the goal. But there's going to be a path that we're going to go with, and I'm not meeting you today to give you a magic bullet. I plan to meet with you this year 3 to 4 times. And we're going to check the mark where we are and move to the next station of your health. Because I'm not going to address your type 2 diabetes, your mental health, your psychological health, and your weight problem, all of this in one meeting. I want you to lead your health. And to lead your health, you have to understand where you are. You have to track the progress, and we go from there.
So, Dr. Omar, for people who may be listening for the first time and may be a little leery because they've, like myself, have been taught that the doctor and what the doctor says, the doctor's looking at the Book of Hoyle, and in the Book of Hoyle, the doctor says, this is what it's going to take to get you healthy. And we're not challenging the doctor's authority or the doctor's knowledge in this conversation that we have, that we continue to have. Because what people may not know, and I want to make sure they understand, and I know this from experience through my travels with you. You work with the doctor. You are not here to say that the doctor does not know what they're talking about. And people need to be made aware that they don't have to choose between the pharmacist or the doctor. You guys work collectively.
You are actually right, spot on. We work as a team. Doctors understand that every doctor is having a pharmacist that they trust to ask questions, because we know medications, we know a lot of tools, and the doctor knows about the human body and he knows about patients. But at the end of the day, we want all to serve the patient. So what we're seeing today, Earl, is that patients are asking ChatGPT and Gemini and the different kind of AI modules before they speak to the doctor or the pharmacist. But what we need to say is that this is all great, but at the end of the day, you need to authenticate the advice that you get, because sometimes that what you see on the internet is not going to be suitable for you. So we have to be like kind of considerate to who has the liability to give a recommendation or a suggestion that works for the patients. But I want to tell you that on a daily basis, we have 10, 20 phone calls from doctors and nurse practitioners asking us about different treatment modules, if they are suitable for their patients. I have doctors that send me the culture of, let's say, bacteria that they find in patient's culture for upper respiratory tract infections. And they ask me, what is the medication? What kind of dosage we can give? And we are answering these questions because we know about the medications. So the collective result of this is to benefit the king of healthcare, the patient, which is you. So just please ask questions, and you have to make sure that you're working with the health practitioner who you trust, who cares for you, and who has a liability of a board that they speak to, that they can kind of put into consideration when they're going to give you advice. And I want people to ask questions to AI. I want people to ask questions and seek answers, because at the end of the day, you're going to distill from these answers what is suitable for you.
You know, Dr. Omar, these conversations that you and I are having, it always sends me back to a time when I was a very young man and worked in a pharmacy, a Rexall pharmacy, and a husband and wife team, Elma and Maida Detman, and they were compounders as well. I didn't know what compounding was. But they always had conversations with their patients. And we're talking about the late 60s, early 70s. They were that kind of, they were those kinds of people. That's who they were. And they always had these conversations with their patients. And then that era in between, when, you know, the conglomerate pharmacies came into vogue, and that was lost. That relationship that people knew, as you know, we would say back in the day, they had those kind of relationships with their pharmacists. That was lost. You are now bringing that back. So do you, I mean, is it growing, the fact that, you know, there are more and more pharmacists like you? And because we've got to get people to understand that they need to build these relationships once again with a pharmacist who can help them in their quest to stay healthy.
Well, I mean, I have some news for you. We have a challenge that Walgreens plans to close maybe 1,200 stores in 2027.
Wow.
2027, with roughly 500 closures expected in 2025. CVS is closing 270 stores nationwide.
Right.
We have a challenge that the pressure of the healthcare economy on the pharmacy modules are causing less and less pharmacies that are available. And we have to remember what happened during COVID, when giving vaccines was challenged with the vaccinators, and pharmacies have solved this problem. And some pharmacies gave 10,000 or 20,000 vaccines because of the ability to find solutions to open more hours, hire more people. So pharmacists have solutions, but it's just not getting any better. And what we're doing as an independent pharmacy is serving the local community where we are, we can serve as much people as we can. We can put the message out there, but I think we need more work on macro level to support the pharmacist to do their job, because we are a practitioner. We are working with doctors. You can call the pharmacy and ask to speak to the pharmacist, and it can take you 10, 15, 20 minutes to speak to a pharmacist.
Yes.
Even if you call at a busy store. But we are seeing something happening now is that you call the department store and you cannot speak to anybody anymore sometimes. You just leave a message and they will call you back. So that sets you off, right? And it happens with us when we try to do transfers from other stores as well. So we are trying to solve that problem by, let's say, calling the doctor and getting to see a doctor in like a month or so to solve the challenge that we have. But then I talked to you, Earl, and you were kind of like upset that you have this pain in your shoulder and you did not see the result and you're still not seeing the doctor for another month. So you needed help. So in your local community, try to always find and locate the independent pharmacy in town. Support this independent pharmacy. Give them your prescriptions. Support them with care. Give them good reviews. Because independent pharmacies can always offer more when they are more successful. And they have, like, independent pharmacies have a lot of the solutions to healthcare when it comes to how can we solve the problem of access. So I think, Earl, that giving solutions and giving support to entrepreneurs and micro entrepreneurs like myself, that give us the ability to spread the message. Because I go into conferences and I speak in front of 3,000 or 4,000 other pharmacies, and we tell our success story, we tell our where we did it right, where we did it wrong, and we empower each other, we learn from each other. So I think I speak for what I know. I speak for the place where I can kind of be helpful, be useful. And I know that the solution is much bigger than that. But we work with a group of pharmacists, doctors, nurse practitioners, and just speaking on this podcast and giving those advice, pieces of advice. It's kind of empowering to me to keep doing what I'm doing.
So let's talk about
to you to keep doing what you're doing.
So let's talk about the challenges, Dr. Omar, that a private pharmacy such as yourself faces, looking at the landscape of all of these corporate pharmacies shutting down. And the challenges that we know are forthcoming. On the one hand, you could say that if the pharmacist and his private pharmacy is positioned properly, they're going to be deluged and overrun. Or there's also the other side of the equation that, depending on, that pharmacy and where it's located, it's almost impossible to be able to stay in business.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are very dependent on the payer module of how much money we're being paid for the drug from the prescription benefit managers who determine how much is the cost for dispensing the medication. Because at the end of the day, this is where we can be profitable or not. And this is not going into a healthy direction. So we get to be paid less for dispensing medications that patients need. So I tell you, Earl, come to my pharmacy. You bring me your 10 medications. I dispense them to you every month. And then I find out that the insurance is underpaying me. So instead of making money per prescription that keeps my door open, let's say if I need to make a profit of $10 per prescription, just to cover my expenses.
Right.
Some insurances are paying me $10 minus per prescription. So I am losing $100 every month for the patient. And now I am obligated to keep the patient at my store and stay open my doors. And if I can't do that, I'm going to shut down my business. So the kind of contracts that happen between pharmacies and insurance companies many times undermines and undercuts the pharmacy, and that causes the pharmacy deserts that we see in many of the states, in which you would see 50 miles, 70 miles, and you don't have a nearby pharmacy for patients that would be able to dispense medications. You would find a pharmacy that has been serving a community, offering free delivery to senior houses and senior people who don't have transportation. And suddenly they get a phone call. We're sorry, your medications moved to the nearby department store. You have to drive to get your medications now. Or you know what? You're going to get it mail order because the prescription benefit manager opened their own pharmacy and we're going to mail it to you. And if there is any challenge with your medications, you have to wait a few days until you get it fixed. So it's like kind of trying to figure out where is the problem and where is the solution. And it all starts from the payer. And we need to put more pressure on the payer to be more just and offer us better contracts. So we as like micro entrepreneurs can do what we can do as pharmacy owners. But it's not just us as independent pharmacies that suffer, by the way. Walgreens and CVS, they have the same challenge. They have to take hours from the pharmacy, cut the technician hours, so the pharmacist would be opening the pharmacy just by himself, dispensing medications, getting and receiving inventory, counting everything, helping the patient. And at the end of the day, you come and they tell me this is the service that we deserve. You come and now and tell me you want time from the pharmacist to give consultation. So there are several challenges, but you know, we can do as much as we can do. But at the end of the day, patient need to understand that we need to raise our voice and just speak up and say what is actually happening and seek answers and solutions.
So Dr. Omar,
solution is not going to be the most, yeah.
So what makes this podcast, I think, so unique is there's nowhere else you're going to hear this from the mouth of the pharmacist or the proprietor of, said business. And so the average American doesn't know that this is an issue. They don't know why the pharmacies are closing. They have no concept whatsoever. And so they can't raise their voices because they're not hearing this in everyday conversation. It's why I think what we do is so powerful in having you on and having these frank discussions. That, to be quite frank with you and honest with you, that you are free to have. When many other pharmacies are locked into corporate, kind of, I don't want to say chains, but they are not free to have a free and open dialogue and dialect with the real issues that they're faced with, then people can't do what needs to be done to support you. And by supporting you, they're actually supporting themselves. And so this is the message that clearly our conversation, if for nothing else and no other reason, if we can continue to get that message to the people and then Dr. Omar, have them multiply that message and send it to others, we can begin to start to see some changes in what is transpiring in this country.
I think you're spot on. We want more transparency. We want disclosure of exactly how much the kind of the big payers would benefit. Prescription benefit managers should help us to kind of tell us exactly how much they profit and create kind of contracts with us that would benefit us as pharmacies so we can do our job to help the patients. Because the challenge is now the focus is on bringing very expensive drugs to the market. And when we try to dispense what the doctors are prescribing, we find that insurance come and say, we're not going to pay you enough. And it just kind of creates this kind of signaling the patient out. Well, now you have to be squeezed from the contract. Patient has to go to a specialty pharmacy to get these drugs. And those people who want to do the service, they cannot do it anymore. So I completely agree with you. Transparency is key. And whatever happens, we're going to try to do the best that we can do. I know excellent pharmacists that kind of try to support their patients with everything that they can, but they're burned out. There's nothing more that they can do and offer. So let's just always, I would say, speak up and say, what is the problem, and get answers and speak to your legislative representatives. Maybe the change is very close, but we just have to act together and be hopeful.
You know, Dr. Ma, it's getting to be crisis time. Baby boomers such as myself, by throngs, are aging, and certainly in the twilights of their lives, requiring and needing this kind of support. And with the thousands of and tens of thousands of pharmacies that are shutting down, we're heading towards a disaster, and people need to be made aware of that.
Yeah, it's just challenging. Like 10,000 boomers turn 65 every single day in the United States, many of them living longer than any generation before, but not always healthier. That's a challenge, right? How is the Medicare and Medicaid going to cover these expenses? It's complicated. Medications are expensive. Chronic illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, these require daily management, and the system is stretching thin. So, I mean, if we don't find solutions to the healthcare problem today with the amount of investment that we have in the government insurance, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get, you know?
So, Dr. Omar, what we'll do is keep on striving, keep on hammering away at it. And as always, it's always great to talk to you. Look forward to continuing the conversation on the next podcast.
It's always a pleasure, Earl. Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. We'll see you later.